I'm Joseph. This is Input English. The Input English channel creates comprehensible input for English learners around the world to improve listening, comprehension, and speaking ability. If you need more information about comprehensible input and how it works, this channel has a lot of videos on this topic. Today we have a story for comprehensible input. The way it works is you listen to the story, and if you can understand the story, then you will gradually absorb the English language. It takes a lot of hours to do that, but comprehensible input is the way to go with English. Today we join our characters Gil and Duan. This is late in the 1850s, and they join each other on the street as planned in Constantinople. Constantinople is the capital of the Ottoman Empire. Duan has been giving Turkish lessons to Gil, who is a newcomer, originally from America, but now he is in Turkey. On this day, Duan proposes that they go on a trip up the Bosphorus to Beşiktaş. Of course, Gil didn't really know what he was talking about, so he went along with this plan. Gil was not prepared to judge the wisdom of such a trip. They walked down to the Bosphorus, which Duan referred to as Boğaziçi. This is part of the lesson that Gil was getting. They went down to the Bosphorus, known as Boğaziçi or Boğaz. When they got down to the wharf, they found a steam-powered boat for Beşiktaş. This is an economical way of getting to Beşiktaş without walking. Duan explained that if money were no object, they could hire a carriage. But then Duan lamented that carriages in Constantinople really were used mostly by the wealthy or government officials. They boarded the steam-powered boat, and it cast off. It went out into the Bosphorus and started its journey up to the north to Beşiktaş. It's not a long trip. On this trip, Duan explained a little more to Gil about the Bosphorus. He said that, 10,000 years ago, the Bosphorus was really a river, but it was flooded many centuries ago and is now not really considered a river. He pointed out that the Bosphorus is quite odd because the flow in the Bosphorus is in both directions at the same time. Certainly with any body of water, the flow is going to change from time to time, but there is a pattern that has been noticed for many years. The salt content of the Black Sea is lower than the salt content of the water in the Marmara Sea. That gradient of salinity creates a very interesting flow pattern. The low salinity water from the north, from the Black Sea, flows toward the surface down toward the Marmara Sea. However, at the same time, a deeper layer is flowing in the other direction from south to north, underneath the layer that is flowing to the south. The deeper layer has a higher salt content than does the superficial layer. As they were continuing their voyage to the north, Duan pointed out various landmarks along the way. Since Gil was completely unfamiliar with this, he simply nodded politely. Soon they were abeam of the Dolmabahce Palace. A beam means that this landmark, the Dolmabahce Palace, was directly next to the boat as it was traveling north. The Dolmabahce Palace was explained to Gill as the new Sultan's Palace. It took more than a decade to build, and only recently has the Sultan and his family moved from the Topkapi Palace to the Dolmabahce Palace. The differences in these two palaces is striking. The Topkapi Palace is very traditional. It's really a medieval structure. But the Dolmabahce Palace is a modern structure that has a lot of European influences and a lot of modern conveniences. Their boat passed the Dolmabahce Palace and came into port at Beşiktaş. Once the boat was tied up, they were able to disembark. Doğan took the lead because, of course, he was very familiar with this area, and he had plans for their lesson to progress. Both of these young men were very interested in discussing the recent revelation that they were both keepers of amulets and that they had some extraordinary abilities bestowed upon them by the amulets. They didn't want to talk about this sort of thing in the close quarters of the boat. They didn't want to be overheard. Once they arrived in Beşiktaş, it was still very busy. Lots of people were around, and they really couldn't speak of things confidentially. Doğan gestured toward the right, and they went further to the north, away from Istanbul, until they were in the vicinity of the Çıran Palace. This was another old Sultan's Palace from more than a century earlier. In this area, there were very few people. They didn't go into this palace, but in the area, they found that they could talk without being overheard. They were not within earshot of other people. They continued strolling and talking, and soon the conversation shifted from the usual lesson in Turkish toward the pressing issue of comparing their experiences with the amulet. Gil was the first to ask a question. He posed the question to Doğan how long he had been wearing the amulet. Doğan puzzled for a second and then reported that he has had it for more than 80 years. Now that caused a thought in Gil's mind. He realized that Doğan has a lot more experience with the amulet and probably knows a lot more about it. He followed up with the question about how Doğan came to have the amulet. He explained that it was given to him by a fellow who he knew from his childhood, but not very well. He said that the fellow was from far out east in Diyarbakir. And then he continued to point out that this fellow's family was originally from Aleppo. Doğan lamented that when he was given the amulet, he wasn't told much about it. He was just told to wear it and not to tell anybody about it, and that it would be beneficial to him. Doğan had asked what these benefits were, but the only one that was explained was that it would prevent aging. The next question that came up was again posed by Gil. He said to Doğan, "You noticed that I was able to draw the jar of pepper flakes into my hand, and that's how you knew that I was a keeper." Doğan nodded. "Indeed, no one else can do that." Gil asked, "Why do you think we have this ability? What is so special about being able to draw a jar of pepper flakes across a table quickly and easily, what's the point? At this point, Duan smiled. He immediately explained, it's not about pepper flakes. Gil said, well, if it's not about pepper flakes, what is it about? Duan said, weapons. He continued, the world is a dangerous place, and it is foreseeable that a person could be attacked and their life could be in danger. Our ability to reach for something and have it come into our hand is amusing when we're reaching for a condiment on the table. But it could be life-saving if we're reaching for a sword. Gil said, oh, I hadn't thought of that. Duan continued, now, this was not taught to me. This is what I believe based on what I've learned. A handy ability to grab something out of reach is not very important, but the ability to quickly defend oneself could be life-saving. Gil said, have you ever used it like that? Duan said, once. Gil asked, what happened? Duan said, I'd rather not say. Oh. Once they had passed the Chiron Palace, they reversed their course and headed on foot back to Istanbul. Duan estimated that the walk would take them about an hour and a half. But the weather is good and it should be quite enjoyable. He said that it would afford them plenty of opportunity to discuss the amulet and, of course, the Turkish language. They focused their discussion mostly on this telekinetic ability, and each had the same experience that they had tried to control it, but have basically not been able to do so. It was at this point in the discussion that Duan asked Gil, have you been able to push anything? Gil puzzled. What do you mean, push something? You know, the opposite of drawing it into your hand. Have you pushed anything away? Gil said, no. It never occurred to me. Duan said, well, now that I've said it, I probably won't be able to do it. But let me see if I can find something that I can give a little nudge from quite a distance without touching it. It didn't take them long to come upon a basket full of some old clothing. It was on the edge of the street, and there was no one around. They were perhaps 20 paces away from it, and Duan looked at it, gestured toward it with his open hand, and it fell over. They continued walking toward it, and Duan set it back upright and put all the items back into it, restoring it to its original configuration. He didn't say a word. The two of them continued walking toward Istanbul. Istanbul? Yes. So I have pointed out that they are in Constantinople. That is the official name of the city, according to the Ottoman government. And it is the name of the city that people around the world apply to this city. It is the official name. However, the portion of Constantinople within the walls, the old section of town inside the walls, is referred to by the local people as Istanbul. It will be about 1930 when the name is changed officially from Constantinople to Istanbul. That name change was not done by the Ottoman Empire. It was done by the Turkish Republic. So these two fellows continued walking, and it did take them about an hour and a half to get back to Istanbul. They walked past the Galata Tower and that looked very familiar to Gil. When he saw that structure and some of the other buildings around the Golden Horn, he was oriented to where he was. In general, he knew where he was because he had seen this flow past him on their boat ride. They crossed the ancient Galata Bridge and entered into the old part of town. During this trip, Gil asked Duan how he had coped with the fact that his lady friends, wife, girlfriend, whomever, were not protected by the amulet. He asked whether Duan had ever lost anyone because he outlived them. Duan said, "Oh yes, oh yes indeed." Gil said, "If you don't mind, can you tell me more? What happened, and how did you cope with it?" Duan said, "I suppose I can explain it." He said, "I lost my precious Gun Sele. Her family and I just called her Gun. She was the sweetest, most precious person I'd ever met. It's been many decades since I lost her." Gil said, "Then how did you cope with that horrible loss? How do you approach that problem? It looks like this may be one of our biggest problems created by the fact that we have these amulets." For a while, Duan said nothing. He was in his thoughts. They continued walking. He said, "Yes, it is a big problem. It took me years to get over her." And then he continued, "I don't think I will ever get over her." Gil continued to press and asked if Duan could explain how he approached this difficult problem. Again, Duan didn't answer. He was still in his thoughts. He then turned to Gil and said, "Perhaps we should leave that for another day. I've not thought about the loss of Gun in so long. I really can't talk about it right now. We'll leave that for another day." In the next episode, we will rejoin Duan and Gil, and we will find out how Duan approaches this difficult, stressful problem. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.